Blog Talk Radio.
How about clapping your hands with me tonight? Come on. Come on. Yep. Can I get it? Can I get it? Come on. Come on. Yeah. Here we go. You don't have to worry about the clothes you wear. You don't have to pray. Baby, don't despair, don't be concerned. If you lose it all, there is a reason. Reason for it all. Stay with me, don't you worry. Be strong to be still. I'll keep the peace inside. Whatever may come, cast your care on him. And when you're out of take it one, two, ease on. Don't be discouraged. Baby, have no fear. He'll never leave you. He will always be there. Say, don't you worry. Be still too. Can you sing it for me? Come on. Don't you worry. Keep the peace here. Say, don't you worry. Don't you worry.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Good evening and welcome. Thank you for tuning in here today on Blog Talk Radio. You're tuned in to Victory Against All Odds. I am your host, Prophetess Donnie Benton. Today is May the 6th, 2019. Amen. For my first-time listeners, Victory Against All Odds is a radio broadcast, where the mission is to encourage people to become empowered with strategic life missions or tools to overcome things such as abuse, rejection, fear, abandonment, oppression, and any other thing that keeps us bound and stuck. Again, thank you all for tuning in and taking the time out this evening to join me. Text someone, tweet someone, call someone, let them know that we are on the air. Today is May the 6th. May represents number the fifth month. Five represents the spirit of grace, abundance, represents favor from God. It also represents redemption. It is the sixth day of the fifth month. Six represents our humanity, represents being independent, or the opposition of God, meaning that we've kind of separated from God, or our sin nature, if you will. And so we praise God, for today is the day that the Lord has made. We truly rejoice and we are glad, excited to be in it. And as you know, no matter what it looks like, we still give God glory in all things because we know that he has made a way of escape. And he doesn't put any more on us than we are able to bear. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. Father, for today is the day that you've made. Father God, don't worry about a thing, for we know that you have all things in your hands. And when we trust you, oh God, we know that you can handle it. And so we thank you, God, for just being God. And we thank you, oh God, for what you're doing, that I decrease and you increase, that what we talk about today, mental illness and mental health, that'll be a blessing to someone and someone else, someone, that they may also receive the resources that they need in order to be in good health. So we thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So again, thank you all for joining me this evening. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So I thought it'd be fitting, since this is the first Monday of the month, that we would kick off with mental health. So what is mental health? Well, mental health includes our emotional, our psychological, and our social well-being. It affects how we think, how we act, how we feel, and it determines how we handle something that we all can relate to, and that is stress. How we relate to each other, how we make wise choices or choices at all, how we interact with relationships. Mental health is important. It's important from early life, childhood. It's important through our adolescence, and certainly it is important through adulthood. So what is mental illness? Mental illness refers to a wide range of mental health conditions, disorders that affect our mood, our thinking, and our behavior. Remember, we said mental health is how we think, how we feel, and how we act. So if we're suffering with mental illness, it includes the way we think and the mood that we're in and our behavior. It includes depression, anxiety disorders. It includes schizophrenia, eating disorders, addictive disorders, or any addictive behavior that would not be what we consider to be normal. So many people do suffer with mental health concerns from time to time. And as I stated earlier, mental health is something that we all have to be engaged in. We have to do a self-assessment, if you will, because if we're in this world, we will encounter what we call stress. There's a healthy stress. There's a stress that's not healthy. There is such a thing as healthy stress. So over the course of your life, if you experience mental health problems, your thinking, your mood, your behavior, it could be affected if you have stressors that are not dealt with in an appropriate manner. So there are many factors that contribute to our mental health that could lead to mental illness or mental health problems that include things such as our some things we just can't control, and that's our biological factors, because we didn't ask to be in this world. So we have no control over the chemical balances, the brain chemistry, the genes that we inherit just being in this world. But then there are things such as life experiences, traumas, and abuse that can occur and that sometimes do occur in our lifetime that would bring on some mental health issues. And then, of course, we talked about this a little earlier, family history of mental problems. So that's why it's good to gauge and know our family history. That is so important. Too many people don't know their family history, and especially mental health issues. It is important, just as we must know about our physical dispositions, our physical biological factors in terms of health. We are whole persons, so it's not just our physical health. It's our spiritual health. It's our mental health. It's our psychosocial health. And so all these things make up the whole person. So what are some of the signs, the early warning signs that sometimes are overlooked that would cause us to wonder if there is something going on, whether it be you, whether it be a friend, a family member, a classmate, a coworker. So if you're not sure that you are dealing with some extra stress or some mental health problems, or you're experiencing some behaviors or know someone who is experiencing behavior, here are a few signs to look for. God bless you. Looks like I got disconnected, so I'm not sure when I got disconnected. So let me just back up a little bit. We were talking about early warning signs. If you're living with someone or know someone who may have some challenges with mental health, or you are doing a self-assessment or experiencing know someone that's experiencing behaviors that's a little kind of uncommon to them or yourself, here's some early signs that will kind of get you to kind of pay a little bit more attention, such as eating or sleeping too much or too little, which could be a sign that depression has set in, pulling away from people and usual activities, the activities that you're used to them normally doing or yourself normally doing, all of a sudden you find yourself not interested anymore, having low or no energy, just kind of lethargic, feeling numb or feeling like nothing matters, you just really don't care, kind of losing interest in the things that used to interest you and being active, having unexplained aches and pains. You know, you're going to the doctor, they can't seem to find anything. You can't seem to pinpoint where the aches and pains are coming from. Feeling helpless or hopeless, again, with just our signs of it can be a sign of suicide, it can be signs of clinically being depressed, smoking, drinking, and using drugs more than usual. So, you know, it could be someone who you know, maybe just drinks on the weekend or maybe once a week, and maybe they have kind of increased their drinking or increased recreational drugs or other drugs that you're not used to them being involved in or yourself. Feeling unusually confused, forgetful, always be kind of edgy, snappy, upset, angry, worried, or scared. If you're agitated, if you seem to be short, yelling and fighting with family members and friends, and this is kind of like a gradual onset. Sometimes it's overlooked because it's very gradual, or it could be a sudden onset. So you just kind of have to gauge where you are, where other people are. Experiencing severe mood swings that cause problems in relationships, which could be, you know, bipolarism, you know, just kind of thing like they're happy one minute, kind of on the other end, depressed, lethargic, you know, not in the mood the next minute, which is, you know, kind of a bipolar, you know, one extreme to the other kind of thing. Having persistent thoughts and memories that you can't get out of your head. Maybe you're hearing voices, or maybe you're reliving a trauma and it just seems to be recycling in your head and you just can't seem to shake it. You're hearing voices, or you're believing things that are not true, schizophrenia, you know, you're hearing voices, you know, things that are, appear to be real, but may not necessarily be real. Thinking of harming yourself or others, which could be early signs of suicide. Inability to perform daily tasks like taking care of your kids or getting out of bed or going to work or going to school or your whatever your daily activities are. And I'm going to be a little transparent because I used to suffer from major clinical depression. And some of these signs are the very thing that I dealt with. I dealt with not wanting to get out of bed, sleeping too much, not being engaged, not wanting to go outside. I wouldn't even go to the mailbox. I kept my blinds closed. I didn't take care of my kids like I needed to. I didn't, you know, perform daily tasks, didn't feel like taking a bath, those kinds of things, just kind of feeling numb, nothing really mattered, didn't have any hope, was going through a trauma in my life, and so I just kind of slipped into this depression, and people don't like to talk about mental illness because it does come with a stigma. You tend to be shame and don't want to share, and you kind of keep that thing to yourself. But how many of you know that that's how we get help? We get help because we have to reach out to someone. We have to let people know that we're not feeling ourselves or how to seek help. So we're going to talk about mental health and wellness. We're going to talk about positive mental health, what it looks like when you have positive mental health. It allows you to realize that there is full potential. It helps you to cope with the stresses in your life. It causes you to have productive work days or be productive in anything that you do. Makes you feel like you've done something, you've accomplished something, and that you are in a place where you make meaningful contributions to your community, to your school, to your church, to your family, to your friends. There are ways to maintain positive mental health, and some of those things you wouldn't believe, but exercise. You know, we are in a very wellness conscious society now where eating right and taking care of our physical is important, but taking care of our physical also includes taking care of our mental. So exercise, believe it or not, is one of the most effective ways to improve your mental health. So when we are doing some type of regular regimen exercise, it really does have a positive impact on depression, on anxiety. If you have children or you know of children, grandchildren, other children that have ADHD, exercise is one of those regular regimens that help counteract some of those deficiencies. It also relieves stress. It improves memory. It helps you to sleep better, Lord knows. And it boosts your overall mood. So having positive stimuli, if you will, allows us to have mental health and wellness, and it allows us to keep the stressors down,
it helps us to kind of keep our cognitive development healthy and developing. So some of the other positive things or resources that you can engage in is getting professional help. But in order to do that, you have to come to a place where you understand and be honest with yourself that you need professional help. And one of the things that I had to realize talking about me is that I needed to reach out and seek help. And so that is not something that should be shameful. It could be the difference between life and death. I kid you not. So getting professional help if you need it, or finding resources for other people and not being a codependent and not making excuses for someone that you know is struggling with mentally. Connecting with others. So if you have this mindset where you're going to be alone, then that gives way for the voices, and it, you know, to say, you know, it's a devil's workshop. When you're hearing voices, you know, it kind of plays in your head, and you're hearing these records and have you think in a certain way, and it's because you don't have anything to counteract that, because you're not connecting with people who can speak positive in your life, or speak positive to your situation, or speak positive to in your inner ear. And then staying positive. So we have to be aware of the company that we keep, making sure that the people that we're connected to are also building us up instead of tearing us down. Getting physically active. We talked about exercise. And being active. So we can't just stay home and sleep all day and not do anything and not participate in community, not participate in interact with your children and things of that sort. And then helping others. Helping others gives us a sense of gratitude, awareness, a sense of belonging, giving back. And that helps also with our mental psyche, if you will, our mental health, our wellness. Getting enough sleep. Now, you know, we're in a society where we're always on the go. But I tell you, when you get 8 hours of sleep, it definitely changes your outlook in the morning. You have energy, you have strength, you feel positive. Getting enough sleep is definitely something that we have to work on, and me, myself included. And then developing coping skills so that when we are stressed out and we're feeling a little overwhelmed, we've got to develop some coping skills. One of those coping skills is exercise. I'm a supervisor on my job, and one of the questions that I ask, how do you handle stress? And a lot of times the answers come back, I go and work out. So when you can go to the gym and kind of work out or take a 30-minute walk or find something that brings you joy, whether that's singing or knitting or whatever that thing is that helps you to cope with that stress, or go pray or call a friend that you know that makes you laugh, and just kind of be able to develop some coping skills that are healthy and keeps us in good health. And so I wanted to just share with you some mental health facts here in America, and how serious it is to be healthy, not only physically and psychosocially, but also mentally. So in America, there are 43.8 million adults who experience mental illness in any given year. That's a lot of people. And one in 100 American adults live with schizophrenia. That's just one speculum of mental health, or mental illness, I should say. 2.6 million people in America, adults live with bipolar disorder. we talked about that, you know, just kind of one minute you're happy, the next minute you're not, either manic or depressive, or you're just being manic or you're being depressed. Or you're happy one minute, you're sad the next, or you're ready to fight, or you're just tearing up stuff. You're just kind of going from one end of the spectrum to the other in a matter of moments. 6.9% of American adults live with some type of mental or major depression. Again, I shared my story. For years, I suffered with depression, but I learned how to mask my depression because I was ashamed. I wouldn't share my woes, if you will, with the world or those that I felt that could be a resource because I was afraid. And I had been hurt and abused and things of that nature. So it is important to acknowledge that you are struggling with the spirit of depression, because if you don't get a handle on it, it can lead to other things that are a little bit more even serious than just being depressed. Okay, so 18.1% of American adults live with anxiety disorder. And that's a biggie because with social media, with children who are on Facebook way too early, and that is my opinion, you are open to various types of negative feedback. And I work at NC State, so I see a whole lot of young people suffering with anxiety disorders. Because there's just so much going on, there's just so much pressure to do well, to be successful, to live up to the status quo, to live up to mom and dad's expectations, to be an overachiever. And so these kinds of things bring about anxiety, and then we are having these types of conversations where you have teenagers committing suicide. You find young adults going in churches and just taking out everybody. These conversations did not used to be. You find pastors and people who are in leadership taking their life. Just this week on the news, there was a police officer who took his life because of anxiety or just, you know, the expectation to perform and be successful can lead to suicide. And so we really have to be aware of those signs that I gave you earlier. Some other facts that I just kind of wanted to share with you today. We have about 16 minutes left. Just kind of wanted to throw some things out there for you to be aware of, that approximately 10.2 million adults have co-occurring mental health and addiction disorder. We call that dual diagnosis. So you have not only mental health, but you also have an addiction on top of that. So now you've got two major factors that have been intertwined with each other, and each one has to be dealt with in its own independent state. So you've got to deal with the mental health, which may be why we're having addiction disorders. Because just for example, if you've got someone who's dealing with schizophrenia and they're hearing voices, then they may be using, you know, drugs or drinking, trying to get the voices to be quiet. That's just an example of what a co-occurring mental health is with addiction. Another example, 26% of homeless adults staying in shelters live with serious mental illness. I've seen that. I used to work in a shelter, and oftentimes mental illness was one of the major factors for their homelessness, displaced that come home because of what all that they have experienced. Hats off to that. They did not get the proper treatment to deal with what they experienced, what they saw. and they come home with mental illness, and they are homeless because they're not able to function the way that we ought to in terms of just self-care. How about that? Another statistic, 24% of state prisoners have a recent history of mental health conditions. So a lot of times you do have those who are in prison, they got there because they have mental illnesses that have not been gauged or acknowledged or treated, and then they are committing crime. So that's not good, and we can take mental illness and we can just peel it apart by layer, and we can talk about this for a whole month, and we will touch on some specific mental illnesses and dual diagnosis or co-occurring factors as well. I wanted to just talk about some things. Let's talk about stress, because we can all relate to stress. May not necessarily know anything about schizophrenia or being bipolar or schizophrenia or anything of that matter, which is what we consider to be like serious mental health, but everybody can relate to stress. So like I said earlier, stress affects everyone from time to time. Some people cope with stress more effectively and they recover from stressful events more quickly than others, because there are different types of stress, and it carries physical and mental health risks. We know that stress causes heart attacks and strokes and things like that, but it also can affect you mentally. So we definitely have to be aware, take self-assessment of not only ourselves, but family members, friends, coworkers, church members, whatever, of how we are dealing with stress. Stress is not always bad. That's number two. Like I said, sometimes stress motivates people to perform. I am one of those people that sometimes I perform better when I'm under pressure, get my best work when I'm under pressure. But then there's the other extreme where certain factors bring about stress. For example, taking a test, being in school. Most of you know I just graduated from school. Now, when I was in undergrad, I didn't do well with taking tests. I had test anxiety really bad. Or maybe it's going on an interview for a new job. That can be very stressful. Now, there's another type of stress in response to danger, where your body prepares to face a threat or you flee to safety. That's a different type of stress. Your pulse is just rapidly going. You're breathing pretty fast. Your brain is using more oxygen and increasing activity. And so that's somewhat a healthy stress. Then we have the long-term stress that we talked about that carries harm. Perhaps you were in a traumatic situation, or it could be health-wise. Certain illnesses such as cancer or anything that's chronic and long-term brings about some stress and can be constant. It can cause you to feel a certain kind of way, So you kind of have to be cognizant of making sure that you are connected to your resources if you have a long-term chronic health conditions. You definitely need to stay engaged in all of the resources, not only for the physical or whatever the health issue is, but for your mental as well, so that you don't fall into some type of depression because of all the long enduring, the condition, the pain, whatever the situation is. And so there are ways to manage that stress. We talked about exercise. We talked about getting enough sleep. We talked about staying connected. But before you can do any of those things, the number one thing that you need to do is recognize the signs. And be honest about that. Be honest that you need help, or someone in your family needs help, or your children needs help, or your coworker needs help. But you definitely need to recognize the signs. And once you recognize the signs, then you need to reach out for some help. And whether that is just, you know, getting exercise or relaxing or trying to find other activities that will relieve you of your stress, being connected to professional healthcare providers that are able to provide you resources for your stress. For those of you that may listen later and you may recognize that you are in a place and you do need some help, I also wanted to provide you with some numbers that can provide you a resource. For example, if you are feeling suicidal and you're chronically depressed and you need to reach out to a lifeline, you can call 1-800-273-8255. Again, that's 1-800-273-8255. That is the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. They are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they will talk to anyone. And if you just need to talk some things out, feel free to do that. And you also have the National Institute of Mental Health that you can call. You can look on my website. You can get some resources from our website as well. And so I just thank you for taking the time out to listen. This is May. It is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so just want you all to be aware of what mental health and wellness looks like, what it doesn't look like. Know your signs. Seek help. Don't be ashamed and don't be afraid to ask questions. Praise God. So we have come to the conclusion of part one that we're going to talk about today. So we've all had some hard challenges in our lives. But I want everyone to know who is listening to and understand that even under the sound of my voice that you don't have to hide your pain. It is possible that you walk in freedom and deliverance, whether that be mental illness or suicide, a terminal illness. You can walk in freedom against all odds. You can walk in victory on today. Praise the Lord. You too can overcome all odds against you, every obstacle, every pain that comes to try to block you and keep you bound. Don't be bound any longer. Reach out for some help. Let someone know that you need help, and don't be afraid. I'm here to help you walk in total victory. So tune in weekly so you can begin to gain understanding of your physical and your emotional challenges that you're facing for yourself, for your loved ones, your friends, your neighbor, your classmate, your coworker, your church family. So together we can learn powerful strategic weapons to combat the seemingly insurmountable obstacles that life can bring and begin the process of healing and forgiving. My email again is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. That is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. You may email me if you have questions. If you need a resource for the state that you live in, please do not hesitate to reach out. We want everybody to be healthy. We want you to walk in victory. We want you to have the favor of God working in your life. If you don't know Christ, we want you to strive and be the best you that you were called to be. But we don't want you to be depressed. We don't want you to be anxious for nothing. And that we want you to prosper and be in good health. Praise the Lord. So we thank you again for being connected, for understanding that we are a whole person, and it's not just our physical, our psychological, and our financial, our spiritual, but also our mental health That is important. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And until next time, you're listening to Victory Against All Odds. God bless you.
Hallelujah. We feel this house. We fill this house with glory.
We fill this house with praise. Oh,
God bless you.